Well, it's 19:13 hours Eastern Standard Time, and the date is January 23rd, 2024. Word Green with you again. Today, we have our study from Chapter 5, Paragraph 9 of the C-Cubed article, also called the Crucible of Credible Creed. When people look for the correct chronology of the history of the world, what they find is that nothing fits in time. This was certainly what I found. So, what they do is shift the dates slightly to align it. They fail to understand that every date affects all others in an impossibly complex way, and hence this method fails. When we understand that every date is crucial in this way, finding the true chronology is perhaps yet more difficult. Now, when we have the true chronology, the dates indirectly affect the details of the events and thus determine them. The more accurate the chronology, the more it allows us to delve into the details of past events and understand them. This article is the first such use of this new technology. And it was a technology that I became aware of because of the newly developed thing that we call the internet, which had come about, you know, and we were all using it, of course, for some years before I ever began to do chronological research. But because of the number of sources on the internet, the number of books and publications that were available, the number of facts could be quite large, and more facts could be delved into if one became interested in a certain time period in the chronology. So this whole technology that I talk about here, the use of the idea of a crucible of chronology to test the facts, was only made possible because of the abundance of facts on the internet. So that's all for our study for today in Chapter 5 of the Crucible. Little children, we have our proverb for today, and it's from Proverbs 24 and 26. Lips will he kiss who is replying in a straightforward way. That is a wonderful scripture, is it not? Now, what about today's study? We're going to be doing, since we finished Revelation, we'll be looking at the book of Matthew to study the Sermon on the Mount today, chapter 5 of Matthew. And in our study of the book of 2 Kings, it's going to be chapter 7 and Ezekiel 31. For 2 Kings chapter 7, we have the story about the prophecy of Elisha concerning the famine and the relief that came to the besieged city of Samaria. Elisha now said, "Listen, you men, to the word of Jehovah. This is what Jehovah has said. Tomorrow about this time, a seah measure of fine flour will be worth a shekel." In other words, there will be some flour. "And two seah measures of barley worth a shekel in the gateway of Samaria," barley being cheaper. "At that, the adjutant upon whose hand the king was supporting himself answered the man of the true God and said, 'If Jehovah were making floodgates in the heavens, could this thing take place?' To this he said, 'Here you are seeing it with your own eyes, but from it you will not eat.' And there were four men, lepers, that happened to be at the entrance of the gate, and they began to say the one to the other, 'Why are we sitting here until we have died? If we had said, let us enter the city when the famine is in the city, we would also have to die there. And if we do sit here, we shall also have to die. So now, Come and let us invade the camp of the Syrians. If they preserve us alive, we shall live, but if they put us to death, then we shall have to die. Accordingly, they rose up in the evening darkness to enter the camp of the Syrians, and they got to come as far as the outskirts of the camp of the Syrians, and look, nobody was there. And Jehovah himself had caused the camp of the Syrians to hear the sound of war chariots, the sound of horses, the sound of a great military force. And they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. Immediately they got up and went fleeing in the evening darkness, and leaving their tents and their horses and their asses, the camp just as it was, and they kept fleeing for their soul. When these lepers came as far as the outskirts of the camp, they then entered into one tent and began to eat and drink and carry from there silver and gold and garments and go off and stick them away. After that they returned and entered into another tent and carried things from there and went off and stuck them away. Finally they began to say the one to the other, it is not right. Excuse me. I'm able to sneeze again because my torn ligament that prevented me from sneezing because it would cause so much pain when my rib cage expanded, suddenly it's at the, or over several days it's gotten better and now I can sneeze again. Excuse me. After that they returned and entered into another tent and carried things from there and went off and stuck them away. Finally they began to say the one to the other, it is not right what we are doing. This day is a day of good news. If we are hesitating and we actually wait until the morning light, guilt must also catch up with us. Guilt must also catch up with us. So now come and let us enter and make report at the king's house. So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city and reported to them, saying, we came into the camp of the Syrians. And look, there was nobody there, nor sound of a man, but only the horses tied and the asses tied, and the tents just as they were. At once the gatekeepers called out, and they reported to the king's house inside. Immediately the king rose up by night and said to his servants, let me tell you, please, what the Syrians have done to us. They well know that we are hungry. And so they went out from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, they will come out from the city, and we shall catch them alive, and into the city we shall enter. Then one of his servants answered and said, let them take, please, five of the remaining horses that have remained in the city. Look, they are the same as all the crowd of Israel that have remained in it. Look, they are the same as all the crowd of Israel that have perished. And let us send them out and see. Accordingly, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them out after the camp of the Syrians, saying, go and see. At that they went following them as far as the Jordan, and look, all the way was full of garments and utensils that the Syrians had thrown away as they were hurrying away. Then the messengers returned and reported to the king. And the people proceeded to go and plunder the camp of the Syrians. And so a seah measure of fine flour came to be worth a shekel, and two seah measures of barley worth a shekel, according to the word of Jehovah. And the king himself had appointed the adjutant upon whose hand he was supporting himself to have charge of the gateway. And the people kept trampling him in the gateway so that he died, just as the man of the true God had spoken when he spoke at the time that the king came down to him. Thus it came about, just as the man of the true God had spoken to the king, saying, two seah measures of barley worth a shekel, and a seah measure of fine flour worth a shekel, it will come to be tomorrow at this time in the gateway of Samaria. But the adjutant answered the man of the true God and said, even if Jehovah were making floodgates in the heavens, could it take place according to this word? To this he said, here you are seeing it with your own eyes, but from it you will not eat. That was what had been said the previous day. Thus it happened to him like that, when the people kept trampling him in the gateway, so that he died. It's the end of the reading of 2 Kings chapter 7. The prophecy of Elisha was fulfilled in a rather precise way, was it not? And yet seemed rather unlikely at the time. Very good. Okay, so we're ready to read Ezekiel chapter 31 now. I believe, and it occurred further that in the 11th year, in the third month, on the first day of the month, the word of Jehovah occurred to me, wrote Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, say to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to his crowd, Whom have you come to resemble in your greatness? And what follows here is what is described by Adam Clark in his commentary as a very beautiful chapter wherein the prophet describes to Pharaoh the fall of Nineveh under the image of a fair cedar of Lebanon. But then he also says here, the manner in which the prophet has embellished his subject is deeply interesting. The coloring is that of that kind which the mind will always contemplate with pleasure. Verse 3, look, an Assyrian, a cedar in Lebanon, pretty in bough, with a woody thicket offering shadow. With a woody thicket offering shadow and high in stature, so that among the clouds its treetop proved to be. Waters were what made it get big. The watery deep caused it to grow high. With its streams it was going all around its planting place, and its channels it sent forth to all the trees of the field. That is why it grew higher in its stature than all the other trees of the field. And its boughs kept multiplying, and its branches continued getting longer because of much water in its water courses. On its boughs all the flying creatures of the heavens made their nests, and under its branches all the wild beasts of the field gave birth, and in its shade all the populous nations would dwell. And it came to be pretty in its greatness, in the length of its foliage, for its root system proved to be over many waters. Over many waters. Other cedars were no match for it in the garden of God. As for juniper trees, they bore no resemblance as respects its boughs, and plane trees themselves did not prove to be like it in branches. No other tree in the garden of God resembled it in its prettiness. Pretty is the way that I made it in the abundance of its foliage. And all the other trees of Eden that were in the garden of the true God kept envying it. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. For the reason that you became high in stature, so that it put its treetop even among the clouds, and its heart became exalted because of its height, I shall also give it into the hand of the despot of the nations. Without fail he will act against it. According to its wickedness I will drive it out. And strangers, the tyrants of the nations, will cut it down, and people will abandon it upon the mountains. And in all the valleys its foliage will certainly fall, and its branches will be broken among all the stream beds of the earth. And out from its shade all the peoples of the earth will come down and abandon it. Upon its fallen trunk all the flying creatures of the heavens will reside, and upon its branches there will certainly come to be all the wild beasts of the field, to the end that none of the watered trees may become high in their stature, or put their treetops even among the clouds, and that none drinking water may stand up against them in their height. For they will certainly all of them be given to death, to the land down below in the midst of the sons of mankind, to those going down into the pit. This is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. On the day of its going down to Sheol, I shall certainly cause a mourning. On its account I will cover the watery deep, that I may hold back its streams, and that the many waters may be restrained. And on its account I shall darken Lebanon. And on its account the trees of the field will all swoon away. At the sound of its downfall, I shall certainly cause nations to rock when I bring it down to Sheol with those going down into the pit. And in the land down below, all the trees of Eden, the choicest and the best of Lebanon, all those drinking water will be comforted. Interesting, it sounds like Lebanon is called Eden there. With him they themselves also have gone down to Sheol, to those slain by the sword, and those who as his seed have dwelt in his shadow in the midst of nations. Whom have you come to resemble thus in glory and greatness among the trees of Eden? But you will certainly be brought down with the trees of Eden to the land down below. In the midst of the uncircumcised ones, you will lie down with those slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh, and all his crowd is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah, prophesying against Pharaoh using an Assyrian cedar as the illustration, and Lebanon also. It's a fascinating but also very poetic and beautiful chapter, is it not, little children? What else have we got now for today? We're ready for Matthew. Is that true? We just did Ezekiel. We're ready for Matthew. We've only used 16 minutes so far. When he saw the crowds, this is Jesus, he went up into the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and began teaching them, saying, happy are those conscious of their spiritual need, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn, since they will be comforted. Happy are the mild-tempered ones, since they will inherit the earth. Happy are those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, since they will be filled. Happy are the merciful, since they will be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, since they will see God. Happy are the peaceable, since they will be called sons of God. Happy are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Happy are you when people reproach you and persecute you and lyingly say every sort of wicked thing against you for my sake. Rejoice and leap for joy, since your reward is great in the heavens, for in that way they persecuted the prophets prior to you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its strength, how will its saltness be restored? It is no longer usable for anything but to be thrown outside to be trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hid when situated upon a mountain. People light a lamp and set it not under the measuring basket, but upon the lampstand, and it shines upon all those in the house. Likewise, let your light shine before men, that they may see your fine works and give glory to your Father who is in the heavens. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you that sooner would heaven and earth pass away than for one smallest letter, or one particle of a letter, to pass away from the law by any means, and not all things take place. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least commandments and teaches mankind to that effect, he will be called least in relation to the kingdom of the heavens. As for anyone who does them and teaches them, this one will be called great in relation to the kingdom of the heavens. For I say to you that if your righteousness does not abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of the heavens. You heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you must not murder, but whoever commits a murder will be accountable to the court of justice. However, I say to you that everyone who continues wrathful with his brother will be accountable to the court of justice, but whoever addresses his brother with an unspeakable word of contempt will be accountable to the Supreme Court. Whereas whoever says, you despicable fool, will be liable to the fiery Gehenna. If then you are bringing your gift to the altar, and you there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go away. First, make your peace with your brother, and then when you have come back, offer up your gift. Be about settling matters quickly with the one complaining against you at law, while you are with him on the way there, that somehow the complainant may not turn you over to the judge, and the judge to the court attendant, and you get thrown into prison. I say to you for a fact, you will certainly not come out from there until you have paid over the last coin of very little value. You heard that it was said, you must not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone that keeps on looking at a woman so as to have a passion for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If now that right eye of yours is making you stumble, tear it out and throw it away from you, for it is more beneficial to you for one of your members to be lost to you than for your whole body to be pitched into Gehenna. Also, if your right hand is making you stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you, for it is more beneficial to you for one of your members to be lost than for your whole body to land in Gehenna. Moreover, it was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. However, I say to you that everyone divorcing his wife, except on account of fornication, makes her a subject for adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you must not swear without performing, and you must pay your vows to Jehovah. However, I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, because it is God's throne, nor by earth, because it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Nor by your head must you swear, because you cannot turn one hair white or black. Just let your word yes mean yes, your no, no. For what is in excess of these is from the wicked one. You heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. However, I say to you, do not resist him that is wicked, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also to him. And if a person wants to go to court with you and get possession of your inner garment, let your outer garment also go to him. And if someone under authority impresses you into service for a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one asking you, and do not turn away from one that wants to borrow from you without interest. You heard that it was said you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. However, I say to you, continue to love your enemies and to pray for those persecuting you, that you may prove yourselves sons of your Father who is in the heavens, since he makes his sun rise upon wicked people and good, and makes it rain upon righteous people and unrighteous. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Are not also the tax collectors doing the same thing? And if you greet your brothers only, what extraordinary thing are you doing? Are not also the people of the nations doing the same thing? You must accordingly be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that's the end of Matthew chapter 5. That concludes our reading for today. What time is it? We have almost 10 minutes. I just have an itchy nose, extremely itchy. I don't know how I got through the reading. And near the end, I was getting extremely itchy. Just unbelievable. And part of the reason, I think I may have a somewhat of a sensitivity to xylitol, which is a wood, not a wood, it might be a wood alcohol, but it's a sugar alcohol. It's a sugar alcohol, which is different from sugar. And it's different from alcohol, too. That's why it's called a sugar alcohol. But it's sweet like sugar, and you can chew gum that has xylitol as the sweetener, and it prevents cavities, but only if you chew it in very large quantity, like, you know, I chew 6 pieces at once, does it really benefit you. Doesn't really benefit very much to prevent cavities if you only chew 1 piece at a time, as was shown by research, and presented in research papers, in at least one that I read, where it mentioned the quantity was important with xylitol, and these sugar alcohols that can be used to prevent cavities, my toothpaste does a better job of preventing cavities because it's made with xylitol. And of course, it's not the same as gum. With toothpaste, you're brushing it right on the place where the cavity might be forming, so it's going to be much more effective with brushing than it is with chewing, but it works extremely well as a toothpaste. The main ingredient of my toothpaste, I realized when I made it last time, is xylitol. That's the main ingredient of the toothpaste. The baking soda is a fairly small amount, and there probably is a little bit more coconut oil than there is baking soda. But it's about maybe three parts, or maybe it's four parts, maybe it's five parts xylitol to two parts baking soda to one, no, to three, maybe five parts xylitol to two parts coconut oil. Yeah, to one part baking soda, something like that. But it's very much, you just do it by flavor. And when you have the right amount of sweetness compared to the baking soda and it has the right consistency from the coconut oil, then you know you've got the mixture right. It's somewhat temperature dependent how much oil you want, because in the summer it'll become too runny and in the winter it'll be too hard. So you just vary that depending on whatever you want. You can add more coconut oil in the winter to make it softer if you want to. But the other thing that you can add is essential oils. And I use peppermint oil for the flavor, which is a really nice flavor for toothpaste. But one could use spearmint oil as an essential oil, or orange oil, or, you know, lemon oil, or all sorts of different essential oils you can get for toothpaste, I suppose. I don't know whether all the essential oils are good for your teeth, or I don't really know all the details, but peppermint is believed to be a good one, so I've used that, and I love it. It's 27 minutes now, so we have about 6 minutes remaining. There's so many things I do differently now than I used to do, you know, with regard to, I chew my xylitol every time I eat something that's sweet. I will end with xylitol gum, the gum, which is not my own gum, it's just gum that I buy. I don't want to say, I shouldn't say what brand it is, because that's not a good idea probably, but to give brand names. But you can buy gum that's got xylitol in it. Maybe someday I'll make my own gum, but I make my own toothpaste though, because fluoride, and I want to avoid that, but fluoride is known to be poisonous, more poisonous than lead. And lead we wouldn't put in our mouth. So why would anyone put fluoride in their mouth? It does not seem at all remotely to be correct or the right thing to do. Especially since there are ways of making a very simple natural toothpaste that you can make it in about 3 minutes or less. I mean, it's very, maybe a little more than 3 minutes, whatever, where you mix your xylitol, you put in like, fill your container half full of xylitol and then add enough baking soda and mix it up until the flavor is not too strong in baking soda, but so that you can have it as strong in baking soda without being too strong. And then you just add your coconut oil to make it form a paste, and that's it. You've got it. Once it's formed a paste where all the particles are stuck to the coconut oil, then you're done. And if it's cold weather and it's too hard, or if you can't, you may not be able to mix it up in cold weather. You may have to heat it up very slightly using your heater or some little lamp or something. Put it in a warm place to warm it up so you can mix the coconut oil in with the other ingredients. In the summer, that's no problem, but, I mean, in the warm weather, no problem, but in the winter, you have to do that to warm it up a bit to mix the coconut oil in, and then just add maybe 20 drops for a 2-cup or 1.5 cups of toothpaste. You might add 20 drops or 30 drops of peppermint. That's about what I do. Not sure how big my container is. It's probably bigger than a cup. But, you know, and so, and 30 drops of peppermint for maybe 1.5 cups of toothpaste. But whatever makes it taste good to you. That's the thing about making your own toothpaste or anything you make on your own. And I make my own foot powder. So recently I had to make both another batch of foot powder and another batch of toothpaste. And the foot powder is fantastic. When you mix the arrowroot powder with black hull powder. And it's got, what is it, 10 or 20 tablespoons of arrowroot to 10.5 of black hull powder tablespoons, and then a half a teaspoon of aloe vera. No, it's, sorry, that's not right. The black hull powder is not that quantity. That's wrong. It's the kaolin clay. 20 of arrowroot, 20 tablespoons of arrowroot powder to 10 tablespoons of kaolin clay. You don't use much of these other things. The black hull powder is 1 teaspoon and 1/2 teaspoon of aloe vera. Very small amount. But the black hull powder is dark and it changes the whole color of the mixture, even with only a teaspoon. Then you put in your 20 or 30 drops, or I use 20 drops of tea tree oil and then 20 drops of my other, my peppermint in my foot powder as well. 20 drops of each of those, tea tree oil and peppermint oil. And then I have 3 drops of rose geranium oil. That's the basis. And then you can add further to that, you could add some orange oil drops and things like that. But the rose geranium oil, 3 drops, changes the whole smell and aroma. Is fantastic with the rose geranium oil, and only using 3 drops in a batch that's maybe, you know, 3 or 4 cups. It's pretty, it's a fair size, maybe 2 to 4 cups worth of powder is what you end up with. And it's with that recipe, 20 tablespoons of arrowroot powder, 10.5 tablespoons of kaolin clay, 1/2 teaspoon of aloe vera, I'm just going by my memory, and 1 teaspoon of the black hull powder, and then 20 drops of each of the tea tree oil and peppermint oil, and 3 drops of rose geranium oil. That's the recipe for foot powder. It's fantastic. You've got to mix it up a little bit, stir it up. Okay, that's all for today's study. I believe we're out of time, just about, yes. It's January 23rd, 2024, and the time is 1946 hours Eastern Standard Time. Once again, I'm Ward Green. I love you. It's been great to have you with me again. And in my behalf, this is Dusty. And this is Cassie saying bye for now.